Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners YouTube Live, powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum. I'm here with Parker Thune, Spencer Forsyth on the board. We're thundering. Well, I'm thundering up. We got Mr. Nebraska over here in Parker, and we got Spencer, who's a Maverick fan. So I know there's a lot of Maverick OU fans out there as well. But we're here to talk OU recruiting. We're going to talk some the players are coming into town. I will be in Dallas this weekend. Oklahoma has their first camp. But ironically, Parker, they're going to be doing their camp, and there's going to be somebody at the SMU camp that I'll be at on Sunday and Monday as well, Super Camp. There's a big national 7-on-7 tournament. There's one in College Station. There's so much going on. Plus, you got official visits. All of that right here, and we're going to talk about all of it on this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor YouTube Live, powered by Riverwind Casino. But before we do that, do we have sponsorships outside of Riverwind and Jenna King today?
No, let's just get a quick word in for those two. Obviously, our presenting sponsor is Riverwind Casino, which has been the Metro's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now, almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars and dining options, plus, of course, the best live music in the OKC vicinity. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. And Jana King is the greatest team to ever clean and a proud partner of OU Athletics as well, offering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. So check out those solutions and find what's best for you or your business at janaking.com. That's janaking.com. That Thunder T-Wolves game, Brandon, it's kind of a massacre. So we might do a little bit better on viewership than I anticipated if there are people who are peeling off from watching the Thunder game to tune into this YouTube stream.
Yeah, the first half is closing up. A little halftime, we'll probably get a surge there. And then as halftime ends, we'll be ending the live. So we'll get all of that taken care of. First things first, I think everybody wants to know, like, Oklahoma obviously got Brian Harris. We haven't talked about that commitment since it happened. We haven't gone live since that happened, but that was a big commitment. Oklahoma got four-star defensive lineman Brian Harris this past on May 23rd on Thursday, last Thursday. Huge get for Oklahoma. Man, by the way, that's crazy to think. Was it last Thursday, right, or Friday? You're muted.
Sorry, last Friday.
Yeah.
I'm on mute because allergies are killing me. I keep sniffling. Don't want to do it into the microphone.
But it feels like, allergies have sucked really bad. I've had to take allergy medicine. I never have to take it lately. But it feels like it just happened. Friday feels like forever ago now for some odd reason. I have no idea why, but it does. Time flew. But huge get for Oklahoma. And he has been all over Twitter ever since that happened. He is going to be a great peer-to-peer recruiter, Parker. You've talked to him. Talk about his personality a little bit, because he seems like just a fun guy. He reminds me a lot of a young Gerald McCoy, by personality-wise. No, I'm not talking about.
He's a galvanizer, man. Yeah. And obviously, we broke the news last night that he was, in fact, moving his official visit to the weekend of the Champion Barbecue specifically to help out with Jake Krell. So at this point, Oklahoma has two verbal commits that have scheduled their OVs for the Champ U Barbecue, not because it's the Champ U Barbecue, but most specifically because they want Jake Krell to be a Sooner. It's not only Brian Harris, it's also three-star IMG Academy product and fellow OU commit Will Conroy as well. So suffice it to say, Miguel Chavis is going to have some help when Krell, the number 27 player, number two defensive end in the nation, shows up to OU for his official visit on the 20th of June. And Harris is also trying to work it out to be at OU unofficially for that weekend where he had originally scheduled his OV, June 6th.
Oh, wow. 28th.
So he may be there for both big OV dates. And if that's the case, man, there will be dividends that get paid, because the word galvanizer is perfectly suited to what he is and who he is. He's all the way, like 10 toes down for Oklahoma, all the way locked in. wants to see everybody around him fall in love with OU the same way he fell in love with OU. And so it's great news to know that Chavis is going to be able to turn to two current commits for some assistance in putting the full court press on Krell, because he is the second highest rated player that is OVing with Oklahoma in the month of June. But also, man, if you can get Harris back to campus on June 6th, get him rubbing shoulders with guys like Bo Bentley, Davian Gross, Tyler Ruxer, and the like. Man, the dominoes could start to fall in a very favorable manner for Oklahoma.
We can talk all day about Tyler Ruxer. I love that kid, by the way. He is. You talk. I'm. This class, I don't know what it is, but I think, and there's a lot of OU classes. OU's the players are generally pretty good with the media, but this class has a lot of really good players when it comes to just communicating with the media. Tyler Ruxer is, I'm telling you, OU fans, if he chooses Oklahoma, I think he's going to be a Sooner, by the way. If that truly does happen, between Brian Harris and Tyler Ruxer, and you still have Jaden O'Neal, I get he's taking an official visit to Arizona this weekend, which I don't think Arizona is that much of a player. I'm just going to call it what it is. Just don't. I don't think they're that big of a player. I think it's Florida State, Oklahoma. Again, like I've said, I'm starting to lean more of him staying in the class just the more I talk to him and his family. But I'm not there predicting it yet. I'm just saying I'm leaning more towards that. But if you have those three leading the charge, and let's say you get a Bo Bentley, we don't really know what Bo Bentley is personality-wise when it comes to being around players. We just don't, because we haven't seen it. We've seen Jaden O'Neal. We've seen the way Tyler Ruxer interacts with people. We've seen the way Brian Harris interacts, obviously, and we've heard about it. So we know what they are personality-wise. You get those three type of guys, and Jake Krell's a very, very galvanizing player as well. Four. That's a good start, Parker, to a baseline if you're going to do that and just kind of build and have guys that are going to sell the program for you. That's a great, great start.
It's a
And
fantastic start.
yeah, and Oklahoma, for all four of those guys, Oklahoma's in a good spot for, by the way. Naturally, you got two of them are committed, but I don't know. At the end of the day, you put out your predictions. I'm going to have mine out here pretty soon as well, but I still think this ends up a top 10 class. Do you still feel that way?
I do feel that way. And, I wrote that, and there were those that disagreed just looking at the hall. But I think quantity wise, I think I projected 25 and even 20, it might have been 20. No, it was 26. I think I projected 26 into the class. So I pretty standard on the heavier side, not super heavy, but on the heavier side. I think quantity wise, Oklahoma is going to be just fine. They've put themselves in position with enough targets at enough different positions that you feel like they're not going to come up short at any given spot. Now, I think I only projected three receivers into the class. That was a little bit on the conservative side because I know Oklahoma would love to have four, but the numbers that the equation changes these days because of the factor that is the transfer portal as you get closer and closer to signing day. So you may have more or less of a need at a given position as you start to approach signing day than you initially figured when you started out the cycle. Oklahoma witnessed and experienced this on both ends of the spectrum last cycle because they needed a quarterback at the 11th hour. They got Jed New, and they needed to cut bait with a couple of receivers at the 11th hour, and they did so, letting Grayson Harris walk to Mississippi State and Marcus Harris to Washington. So, and obviously, at Cortez Mills wound up at Nebraska. That was not by design, but it did happen. So I think Oklahoma is sitting in a pretty comfortable spot as far as the quantity that they're going to land in general and across the board, specifically at each position. As far as quality is concerned, I think there are many folks that understandably right now, when they're looking at Oklahoma's board, the list of guys that are going to OV, which we have posted at OUinsider.com. They see Felix Ogiel and they see Jake Krell and they look at those two, and it's great to have them on the list. Great that Oklahoma's in the mix, but beyond Ojo and Krell, there doesn't seem to be a ton of star power that could very plausibly jump into Oklahoma's class. And I'll be honest, Brandon, I think that's fine. I think that's okay if that's maybe a perception that exists from the outside with this class, because the philosophy is shifting. The calculus is shifting. Everything that goes into Oklahoma's evaluation process is shifting because of the addition of Jim Nagy and his staff. And here's the thing. It's awesome to have a top 10 class on signing day, but you would much rather, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, you'd much rather have a top 10 class on graduation day. You go back to the 2023 cycle.
Okay, so clarify. So when you say that, you're talking about
I'm saying
while
is,
they're at Oklahoma, not
when
not
those guys graduate
GPA.
College.
Okay.
When those guys graduate college, you want to be able to look back at that class and say, boy, there were some big time hits in that group. That was a top 10 class and it lived up to the billing.
Okay.
And that hasn't necessarily been the case. Remember how great everyone felt about the 2023 class, especially when Peyton Bowen jumped in at the very end? I want to say it was the number 6 class in the nation or thereabouts. Yep. You look back through that group of signees now, Brandon, over half of those guys are no longer on the roster at Oklahoma. There have been some that you feel like the arrow is pointing up for them, and maybe they've contributed to a certain extent,
yeah,
i.e. Peyton Bowen, PJ, Taylor Wine was a real stock riser this spring, Samuel Masigo. But then you think about guys that never got anywhere close to making contributions at Oklahoma for one reason or another.
Right.
Guys like Eric McCarty. Guys like Phil Picciotti. Keon Brown never even made it to campus. Right. Jacquez Petaway flamed out. And then you have a bunch of guys that you just, you know, they may be still around, but the jury's still out. Logan Howland is a great example of somebody like this. And so when you look back in retrospect at that 2023 class, and you're mindful of how many guys have transferred out or just haven't done much yet in an OU uniform, you probably don't view that class in the same stellar light that you did on signing day in December of 2022. And so my opinion on the matter is this. If Oklahoma doesn't have a top 10 class, I'm going to reserve judgment, because the entire reason you brought in Jim Nagy is to evaluate differently than everybody else is evaluating. That's why you bring in somebody from the NFL discipline, somebody that brings a different perspective to the table, and ideally, hopefully, a more educated and refined perspective that's going to help you identify the guys that they may be sitting there on the low end of 4-star range. I don't think we're going to see Oklahoma go after many guys that are just completely unknown nationally. Matthew Nelson is maybe the one exception to that right now. Sooners feel like they've found a hidden gem there, and the offer sheet is less than impressive with Nelson, but Oklahoma's real enamored with his skills. For the most part, though, the guys that they are going after, the guys that Nagy and his crew have identified, guys like Dallas Dickerson and Tyler Ruxer and Braxton Lindsay and Ben Wenzel, guys like that. What you count on with those dudes and what you count on with your personnel staff is that though they may be flying somewhat under the radar in the sense that, yeah, they're known to the Power Four, but maybe not regarded as tip-top tier prospects. Despite that, this staff at the University of Oklahoma is able to identify certain traits and certain qualities in those players that the rest of the country might not appreciate to the extent that they should, such that when they get to your campus, they're going to outperform their ranking as opposed to underperforming, which we see so often with blue chip prospects that come to Oklahoma and any other school for that matter. So I'm not one that's probably going to sit there on signing day in December and offer up some strong judgment one way or another about the way that the recruiting class came together. My perspective on it will be this is the first real litmus test for Jim Nagy and the folks in that OU front office. Let's see how these guys develop. Let's see what they become. Let's resist the urge to slap a label on this class right now as to whether it's great or not so great, and just see how these guys come along as college football players.
Yeah, so I think when you look at Oklahoma as a whole, when you're talking about just how they've recruited over the last, I don't know, ever since Stoops got to Oklahoma, I'm going to go all the way back there. It has felt like Oklahoma has done a really good job of finding players that maybe the fans aren't real high on. And there are three-star guys, and you're not going to get fans, you know, just falling head over heels with players that have the three-star, the two-star, even the four-star ranking that isn't a top 250 kid at the end of the day. And they turn those guys into all-conference NFL first round, second, day one, day two guys at the end of the time. And I think that's Jim Nagy's idea, is to, if you're not going to want to, it's not that they don't want to pay. I think, well, no, I'm just going to say, Josie, knowing how Oklahoma operates, they don't want to pay a substantial amount of money for a bunch of players at every position. Now, they're going to pay for big-time players that they feel make a significant impact. You know, the John Matiers of the world, the Fasusis, right? The David Stones of the world, the Dominic Williams, those type of guys, right? The Derek Simmons offensive tackle out of Western Carolina. He everybody wanted him, and they ended up having to pay him quite a bit of money to come to Oklahoma. So, like, those type of players. And then to keep the players is how they want to start operating. They want to get you, develop you, and then pay you a substantial amount, which you're truly worth, not directly out of high school. And I think that operation, that the way that they're operating is, I think that's how a lot of people are going to start operating, Parker. Like, I truly believe that Oklahoma's not going to be just trying to find the bottom of the barrel and go grab, but they're going to evaluate better than a lot of other teams, and they're going to do it with a purpose. And that's what you see with Nagy. I'm so interested, so interested to see how the camp changes. I won't be there Sunday because my son's got 7-on-7, and I'm going to go to the mega camp since I'm already going to be at Dallas at SMU. And but there'll be OU staffers there anyways at the mega camp. So they're doing both this weekend.
Really? How about that?
It's different. Yep. I mean, I didn't realize it either. I got told that yesterday, like, hey, you know, such and such will be at the mega camp. I was like, well, don't you off camp? They're like, doing both. It's like, okay. So, but anyways, I'm interested to see how it changes, because Oklahoma's not done the measurement thing at camps. Remember, it's been all football. How do you play football is how they've done it. They haven't done the 40. They haven't done the 5-10-5. They haven't done the L drill. None of that stuff, broad jump, none of that stuff. They don't go and measure their wingspan or their hands and all that type of stuff. You haven't seen that at Oklahoma. Do you think Nagy's going to change it? How he operates and how he likes measurements, do you think that's going to change for the camp setting?
I would say they'll pay more attention to it than they have in the past. I don't know whether it'll be like a prominent feature, but
just maybe guys that they're targeting, or maybe somebody that stands out, they pull them off to the side and start doing all the measurements. I don't know. Like, bring them into the facility and do that. I don't know how they're going to do it, but just knowing how Nagy likes the measurement, and that is a very Nick Saban way to, in Kirby Smart way to operate as well, where BV has operated from a very Dabo Sweeney type of mentality. If you're a good football player, we're going to bring you in and we're going to develop you into a better football player and into a cohesive team to try to compete for a national title. Doesn't mean that they're not checking measurements and doing all that, but they just didn't value it the way that Nagy values it, like an NFL front office values it, the way that Saban and Kirby Smart, who have dominated, and maybe even, I assume Ohio State does the same thing probably, and those three have dominated the landscape of college football for the last two decades. So if you're Oklahoma and you go grab a Matthew Nelson, he's gonna You put the wingspan out there, you do all that crap. That dude is going to awe you with his frame. But that's what Oklahoma loves about him. Is he's so raw and he's so long and athletic and can put weight on. And it feels like that's where they're moving towards, Parker. And that's something that the fans just got used to, Oklahoma operating where they don't get a lot of commits, right? Because of they want you to get the official visit. Oklahoma wants to see you on campus a bunch before you commit to them. They get used to that, and now you got to get used to another way of doing things where Oklahoma for the last 3-4 years has been operating a certain way recruiting, and now they're operating this way. It's an ever-changing landscape that I'm very intrigued to see how this pans out. But I agree with you. I think top 10 class is probably likely. 8 to 12 is where I have it. I'm also really excited to see a couple of players at the camps this weekend. But before we talk about the camp, upcoming camps and all that type of stuff, Oklahoma's not hosting anybody this weekend, but the following weekend it's big as far as camp and official visits. Who, I guess, if I put the over under on 2.5 as far as commits, 5th through the 7th, how you feeling? And they don't exactly have to commit that day, but within like a 10-day span following.
I'd take the over.
I agree.
I would take the over.
I think Oklahoma's going to get really hot. Really, really fast.
I mean, again, especially if you have somebody like Brian Harris on campus June 6th through the 8th, that has the potential to be huge, especially because of the other key variable in the equation, which, of course, is Bo Bentley. He will have taken his LSU official visit by then. It would stand to reason that if he's going to commit to Oklahoma, he's going to do so pretty quickly after his OV is over. And there's, like, I think what you hope. Ideal scenario, right? Ideal scenario is that getting on campus at Oklahoma for that OV, feeling the love, getting the red carpet treatment, being around the program that he grew up rooting for and admiring, that tugs at his heartstrings enough. And Ben Arbuckle can hammer home the messaging that week such that he commits while he's on campus. If he commits during the visit, there may be a domino effect.
Yes. Very much so. We've got a couple questions about Braden Presley and where things stand. He's at Oklahoma State this weekend, just so everybody
That's correct.
Knows.
He is.
Yep. He told me. I put it on our – did you do a write-up on him as well? When I interviewed him, I'm the one that – yeah. So he has – it's Oklahoma State this weekend, and then it goes Oklahoma State, K-State, Arkansas, then Oklahoma. So next 4 weeks, his last visit is Oklahoma for the champion barbecue. He's got to get out of this weekend. He says that he's going to take all of his visits. He says he's going to commit around July 12th. That's kind of the idea there. I don't know how this class is going to end up for the defensive backs. My gut says Caden Hall is who Oklahoma is going to try to press for. The weird part about it is that his family grew up disliking Florida, very heavily disliked Florida when his family they were Miami fans, Florida State people. And so they grew up disliking Florida. This is what I was told this yesterday. So it's weird that Florida is kind of the school that Oklahoma is having to compete with the most right now. It'll be interesting to see if they can get him out of Florida. They love Oklahoma. He's been back. I mean, he's visited Oklahoma. They're in constant contact with Oklahoma. Spoke to him, from what I'm told, just the other day. So that OV is going to be big for OU in the safety room. But you can't throw away Jacob Eberhardt either, because that name keeps being thrown at me left and right. I keep thinking the dude's going to end up in Missouri, but if Oklahoma somehow hits a home run on that OV, Parker. Safety is going to be interesting just because of the numbers, number one, and number two, because they're so young there. Just so young at that position.
Well, here's the big question to me. Is Eberhardt going to OV with Oklahoma?
Supposedly. I don't know the exact date, but supposedly, yeah. I can find that out. I will make that my mission to find that out over the next 48 hours.
Okay, there you go. He's got OV, right? Like
Yeah, he
he's
has
not
to.
showing up to campus for an OV, it's hard to believe in your chance. Kind of like Drew Evers, right?
I that's why I think he's going
Evers.
to Missouri because whatever. But what about Drew Evers? So you did a write-up on him.
I did.
And you put out four official visits, and Oklahoma wasn't one of them. Is there
It's actually five. He's taken
five?
official
Okay,
visits to
five.
every single one of his finalists except Oklahoma. But I will say that, like, would I pick Oklahoma for Drew Evers right this second? No.
Gotcha.
But it feels like everybody's got a shot right now, because what's going to happen is he's not going to commit during any of his visits. He said, look, I'm not committing on campus anywhere. I am not going to be a prisoner of the moment like that. What he said is that here's how it is with Oklahoma. I've been there. I've known that staff. I've developed those relationships. I've collected all of the relevant data since I was in eighth grade.
That's true.
December of 2021 was when Oklahoma hosted his older brother Nick for an official visit, ultimately got his commitment and his signature later that month. Drew Evers is more familiar with Oklahoma than any other program that is recruiting him. He said, look, do I really need to waste the program's time and money for an OV at this point? Because there's literally nothing left for me to learn when I go up there. I know everything about that whole operation inside and out. So it's really just me hanging out with the coaches, and I can do that anytime. It's a 2.5 hour drive from Plymouth. I can do that anytime. I don't need to be another guy that's taken time away from the coaches when they could be recruiting other guys on this OV weekend. And so, like, A, you respect that, right? Absolutely respect that perspective from a kid. He's like, man, it's really like it's an investment from the school in order to host me for an OV, and it's an investment that they really don't need to make because I know everything that goes on there, and nothing that they put before me is going to be new. But also, it's only natural to concede that the schools that do get him on campus for official visits are going to get chances to make stronger last impressions on him than Oklahoma will. Does that matter? I genuinely don't know. It feels like
No.
it's going to matter less for a guy like Drew Evers because his family's very involved in the process. They've been through it before with Nick. They're going to check all the boxes. They're going to compare all of the data points after the fact once the OVs are complete and make an informed decision at that time. So it doesn't feel like there's going to be a ton of recency bias that goes into that decision-making process for Drew Evers. What that says for Oklahoma, well, I think that can only be interpreted as a good thing as far as Oklahoma is concerned. Is it good enough to get them over the hump and help them beat out LSU and Penn State and Ohio State and Texas A&M and SMU for his commitment? I don't know. That is one where I feel like the kid is going into his OVs completely undecided, and it could go a myriad of different ways depending on where things stand at the conclusion of the process and what kind of impressions those schools, especially schools like Penn State and Ohio State that he's been to a lot less, have made on him over the course of the OV slate.
Do you buy the Texas A&M? I know you said you don't think there's a really a leader and that anybody can get his commitment, but do you buy the Texas A&M leads for Evers just because of his family background?
Well, I mean, he's honestly the sense that there might be more of a familial loyalty to OU than there is to A&M.
See, I always got
It,
that talking to his family, but the
if I had
yeah.
to guess, if I had to guess, he seems to me like the type of kid, and we're just talking vibes here, all right? He seems to me like the type of kid that's going to stay reasonably close to home. And
Gotcha.
so from that standpoint, I like A&M, SMU, OU. So that kind of
Freaking
cuts the field in half, I guess. But I don't know, man. It's a hard one to try and peg right now. And a lot of that, I believe, is just the reality that he's legitimately undecided.
And two schools with lots of money that OU is going up against. And that have been a thorn in Oklahoma's side, particularly this cycle.
Good news is
SMU.
SMU can't take all of OU's interior aligned
That's very
assets.
true. That
They
is
can't
very
have them
true.
all.
They can have a few. Noah Best, Drew Evers.
I think Noah
Not Noah
Best
Best
is.
to go to Oklahoma. I get it. I get it. But yeah, I was joking. There was actually a good question. Sooner Cowboys. I guess OU moved on from Deuce Gerald's. I wouldn't necessarily say they moved on. So what Oklahoma's done is they played the smart game, and this is why I call it the smart game. So you can have Deuce Gerald's, and you can pay quite a bit of money for Deuce Gerald's, and you can probably have a Brian Harris, or you could potentially land Brian Harris, Elijah Golden, Taj Overton, and who else am I missing here? No, you could take those three. Tank Carrington. You could take those four and then two edge guys and have a really stellar class for probably the amount of money that you're gonna have to pay for Deuce Gerald's. So you could have four of the top 20 defensive tackles in the country, or two.
That will play.
So you take the odds on the ones that you're feeling pretty damn good about right now, and you go all in. If you land three of those guys, that's big, because your two edge rushers will probably be pretty big time as well.
And can I be honest? I genuinely
Yep.
think OU already got one of the best bang for the buck guys out there at defensive tackle in Brian Harris.
Agree 100%. I think he's going to end up in a top 250 kid in the country when it's all said and done. Do you not agree with that?
I don't think he's far off at all right now.
I mean, but at the end of the cycle, do you not think he won't be?
No, absolutely he will. Yeah,
I
no,
mean,
I think he certainly will be.
he's so long and rangy. I have a 1-year-old trying to break into
Oh boy.
the room right now. So, anyway, she said hi, and then mom grabbed her. Now she's pissed off. Anyways, Cole Birdwell with a super chat. Can y'all bring back the Olipop ad? That crap be expensive without the code. Fair.
Oh, the Olipop ad. Yeah,
Yeah.
no,
Well.
that's a thing of the past, unfortunately. Can't help you. It is expensive, but delicious.
Parker likes Olipop. I
Brandon does
like.
not, and that's okay.
I never said
Was,
that.
sorry, heavily implied.
Maybe. I was also looking at, oh my gosh, gotta go back here real quick. I was looking at some of the wide receivers, because your wide receiver list was interesting to me. I don't want to give it all away, but one of them was interesting, and you probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think so.
Parker, I think that's a pretty good guess, because I feel pretty good that Oklahoma's in good standing with Dallas Dickerson. I feel like they were the team that kind of pushed the envelope with him. The
And
one.
I've learned not to ignore this instinct. Dallas Dickerson feels like an OU guy.
But so does Daniel Odom. And you and I both talk to similar people, and everybody feels good about Daniel Odom in Oklahoma still, which just blows my mind. It doesn't make sense to me. But then again, we don't talk to him every day like these people do. So like it's weird. It's weird, Parker. I don't. If Jaden O'Neal sticks in the class, do you think Daniel Odom sticks?
Yes. My answer is yes at this point. There was a time I would have said no, My answer right now is yes.
It feels like the longer he just stays committed and doesn't decommit, even though he's taking visits, it feels like it's going to be harder and harder to pry him away from Oklahoma because he still has his OV to OU. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's I totally agree with you. I thought when he started going to Washington and Oregon and all that crap, I was like, that dude's not going to last 2 seconds with Oklahoma. Here we are rolling into June, and that dude is still committed for 4 months now, and it is 4 months longer than I thought it was going to stick. I'm just being straight with you.
That felt, boy, initially that felt like one that just wasn't going to last long, right?
Yeah.
It still may not last. Like, we have to acknowledge that possibility.
Yeah.
But it's been 4 months the day. He's still committed.
It's wild. If you had to guess the most random top tier player that Oklahoma is going to get, and it will surprise the fan base, who do you think it will be?
The most random top tier player that Oklahoma is going to get.
That would surprise the fan base. Kind of like, I mean, hell, Brian Harris. That was pretty random.
That was pretty random. I might say Caden Hall, you know, like.
Really? And maybe I'm different because the source that I have on this stuff, like, it feels different for me because I hear about him every other day.
That's not a guy that there's a ton of public OU buzz about, you know.
That's true.
Like, at this point, there's been a lot of noise that has connected a guy like Jake Krell to OU.
Facts.
Or, I don't know, even a guy like Zachary Turner from down at Duncanville to OU. It doesn't feel to me like there's been a lot of talk elsewhere about Caden Hall at OU. Certainly there has been here and on OUinsider.com. Elsewhere, though, doesn't really feel like that one is getting talked about nearly as much as it probably should.
That's fair. I mean, I don't know. Caden Hall's a good one just because of, like you said, the national buzz. I'm gonna use this. You brought up one, and I don't necessarily consider him like a top tier guy, but I think he's a good player. You brought up one that was on the offensive line that when you threw the name out, I was like, what? And Devon Robinson out of Pasadena, Texas, Pasadena Memorial High School. That one just kind of, and I like him as a player and have, but it's not one that even I've heard a ton about as far as Oklahoma and him. And yet you have him predicted. That was shocking to me. The other one, I don't want to give the wide receiver. The wide receiver, you got to go to OU Insider for this. The wide receiver one's good, and it's a dang good player too, by the way. And it's one that has a lot of – it's not shocking if you know his background. Does that make sense where I'm going with that? You're muted. But, yeah, anyways. If you're Oklahoma, are you worried about anybody this weekend visiting elsewhere? If so, who?
I think you have to be worried about Bo Bentley, right? I think if he makes it through that LSU visit uncommitted, you feel pretty good, genuinely. Like, I would say,
yeah,
if he's not committed to LSU by this time next week, I feel much better about OU's chances to get him on board.
Yeah.
But LSU, in all likelihood, is going to make every effort to ensure that that OU official never takes place. And consider this. Consider this. There was a source close to that process that brought this up to me last night, and I thought it was a really good point. What happened to LSU at the quarterback position in the 2025 cycle, Brandon? They had Bryce Underwood committed forever.
Mm-hmm. And then
only to watch him take the bag at Michigan.
El Presidente came and dropped a bag.
And then, of course, they wound up without a quarterback commit in the 2025 class. So they had a guy that they were counting on adding, counting on being the centerpiece of their class for a long, long time. Then all of a sudden, he's no longer in the picture. And nobody's in the picture at quarterback in 2025. So there may be a sense of desperation at LSU that does not exist at Oklahoma, because they're kind of feeling the crunch of needing a guy at that position a little bit more than the Sooners are. And also, if you don't have a five-star quarterback from the 2025 class on the payroll, but yet you had made plans to that effect, there may also be a little bit of extra financial leeway.
That's a good point. I still kind of feel like Oklahoma's going to end up with him, but like, if you're an LSU fan, you've just got to be freaking livid. You win a Heisman, and then you struggle, and then you have who you have, right? Following him up, who's going to end up being probably a first-round pick as well. And you struggle to get quarterback in back-to-back classes. That doesn't make sense at all. But I've also heard that Brian Kelly is very hard to play for if you're a quarterback. I've heard that from a couple of people. So it doesn't mean it's true. Cole Birdwell with another $5 super chat. Appreciate you, man. It's a joke. But
yeah.
He says, yeah. Hey, Parker's got allergies. He's doing it on purpose right now.
I'm turning off the camera's not quitting. I'm turning off the camera to sneeze. I guarantee you guys don't want to watch me sneeze. I don't think anybody enjoys watching anyone else sneeze. So I've been turning off the camera to sneeze and recover for a second before I flip it back on. The camera itself has had no issues tonight, which I am grateful for.
There you go. Mike Andrews telling you thank you to you and your wife for her service to the country.
Well, I'll pass that on. I appreciate that.
There you go. Anyways, yeah, man. This week, like we said, this week is kind of the lull before the calm before the storm with Oklahoma recruiting. It is not there's not a ton of breaking news or anything that's taking place. The good news is you got softball going on starting tomorrow. Oklahoma taking on Tennessee in the Women's College World Series. You have baseball, Oklahoma heading out to the North Carolina Regional. So there's a lot of that going on. We'll have that covered on OU Insider VIP. But the following week, starting this coming weekend and then following, is going to be a ton of camp information, a ton of recruiting information, official visits. Like, it is, and I'm talking, this is the time that, like, this is Parker outside of the transfer portal window and the two signing days. This is Parker and I Super Bowl. June and July is Parker and I Super Bowl. Like, we love this time of year because it's camp, 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 camps, official visits, commit, 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 and it's nothing but breaking news, and we do that for you guys. So if you go over to OU Insider VIP, it's totally worth it. $9.95 a month, at $99.95 for the whole year. Or if you are a college student, and we say this all the time, email us, OUinsider@rivals.com. We will get back to you with a promo code so you can get OU Insider for $11.95. That's less than $1 a month. And also, to Mike Andrews' point, military, I'm a vet. Parker's wife is active duty. We love our military, active duty military. Send us an email from your active duty military to OUinsider@rivals.com. We will send you a promo code to get OU Insider for a whole year for $11.95. Again, we want to thank you guys so much. Everybody that's members there, we're doing it for you guys. The merger to On3 is happening soon. Not really. We're partners, I guess. I don't know how that works, but yeah, you guys get access. It's going to be fun. We can't wait to see everybody on there. So thank you guys so much. But that's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor YouTube Live, powered by Riverwind Casino. For Parker Thune, for Spencer Forsythe on the board, my name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.